Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. I'm excited about another opportunity to share with you in this short video truths that will inspire you to let God come off the pages of your Bible and get into your life. How tangible he can become. And as a result, you will get your prayers answered. The more real God is to you, the easier it is to walk in faith with him. It was always supposed to be that way. You weren't supposed to try to learn the subject of faith, irrespective of the relationship with the person called Jesus Christ. When Jesus is real to you, faith is simple. And then number three, being able to share testimonies of what the Lord has done for you. So we were sharing some things last week about John chapter 4, 23 to 24, and we're going to jump into this. Now, you know, we normally go to Matthew 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible and share that wonderful passage there where it says, you know, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly, even as from the very first sessions we talked about the wide open spaces of God's grace, where you can get out of that cell you're in, that fence that you fenced yourself in with. In other words, all the religion and tradition and trying to perfect your life and making Christianity about how connected you are to the building at 10 o'clock. No, that didn't mean I'm saying something negative against a church. My goodness, have a good church and fellowship. But your relationship is not with the church. Your relationship is with Jesus Christ. And you get to go to the church and learn some things that will enhance your relationship. And then you get to go one of the greatest honors is to go to that building at 10 o'clock, if that's when it is, on a Sunday, and share the testimonies of what Jesus has been doing for you. That's what real Christianity is. It's like that Mustang that's in the corral, and it's just going from side to side, round and round, wanting any opportunity it can to get away. And when the gate is left open, it bursts through that gate and runs to the wide open spaces of freedom. And that's what Jesus did. He released us to go into the freedom. What is that freedom? It's being able to enter right into the throne of Almighty God, to be raised up to sit with Jesus Christ in heavenly places, where the voice of God and the presence of God is so real to you, you walk with him every day as though he was as real as anyone else in this world. And he can be if you'll open up your heart to some of these things we're sharing right here. I want to go right back into John 4, 23 to 24 in the Message Bible. It says here, it's who you are and the way you live that count before God. I can't help but just reiterate what we did last week. It's not talking about, you know, whether or not you got all your P's and Q's perfect. You realize when we talk like this, we're no means insinuating and trying to release somebody to say, hey, just go sin all you want to. But the whole issue of Christianity is not about sin anymore. It's about God. It's about Jesus. He did away with our sin, and he made us righteous so that we would be more righteous conscious. We'd be more conscious about our life being right than conscious about our life being wrong. We'd be more enabled to hang out with Jesus because we're perfect inside through Jesus Christ than trying to perfect ourselves so that we can finally someday hang out with Jesus. Do you see the difference? One is still living under an old system, trying to use the old system and bring it over into the new. And if you do that, then you nullify the grace of God. In other words, why did Jesus need to die for you? Take your test, pass that test with flying colors, and put that inside of you for you to have to actually perfect yourselves all over again like the old covenant. He did what he did to give you a running start so that you could have a relationship with the Father that would be second to none, just like Jesus himself. And that's why over the last 10, 12 sessions, we've shared things about the hearing, seeing, and doing life of Jesus. So when it says it's who you are and the way you live that count before God, it's your perception of reality. your perspective about what is real in life that will cause you to make the choices you make. Do you realize you make thousands of choices every single day without even knowing that you do? Well, is it possible that the majority of those choices are of the flesh and of the world and don't have anything to do with your connection with God? And the possibility is very high. That's what the world has done for us. It's made us put all of our attention upon our own ability to succeed in life. But what Christianity does is it gives you a brand new perspective where you can see things from the heavenly place downward instead from an earthly place upward. No, we're not begging God to do something. We're seated in heavenly places where he's already done it, and it's time for action. I like what E.W. Kenyon said. He said in the Old Covenant, he said, through the ministry of Jesus in the Gospels, Jesus encouraged people to believe. But in the New Covenant, through the ministry of the Apostle Paul encouraged people to act. In other words, in the ministry of Jesus under the old covenant, you didn't possess the promise. You had to believe unto it. In the new covenant, you are already a possessor of everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now it's time to just act, receive, walk in the fullness, because the work has been done for you. So in the way that you perceive life, you'll make choices. And that's what counts before God. It says your worship must engage your spirit. Well, years ago now, my middle daughter's 24 at this particular time, but when she was 16, 17, well, you know, we were in need of getting another vehicle so that she would have something to drive to school, and then we would still have our vehicles to do what we needed to do throughout the day. Anyhow, I was at an auction with a friend of mine, pastor friend of mine in Texas, and I'd never been to an auction before, and he bought some cars on the side and sold them. So this was really fun for me. And this little Audi TT, this little car that looks a little bit like a Volkswagen, but a little bit better in my opinion. Anyhow, it came on the lot. It was bright yellow, like bumblebee yellow, you know. Black interior leather. It had chrome wheels. I mean, from the outward appearance, it looked like it was way too much for the, say, $6,000 that we had to spend on a car, which wasn't much, but we were going to hopefully get something decent. Well, my friend looked it up, and here it was in the ballpark of what we needed. So we quickly made a bid on it, and we bought that car. Now, I sent pictures home to Drew, and she just loved the whole idea of it. Oh, this looks so great, so great, so great. Well, then when I picked it up, I realized I hadn't test driven it, and I hadn't even really inspected the inside, but lo and behold, it was a standard shift vehicle. Well, you know I'm dating myself right now, but I learned how to drive on a standard shift in upstate New York. It was either a 3 on the tree or a 4 on the floor. And I learned how to drive in the snow with that. I learned how to drive, you know, going up hills with that, where you'd have to stop on an incline and work that clutch, you know, and keep on going before you went backwards or stalled it, you know. And so for me, it was nothing. And driving it home from Texas to Oklahoma at the time, that was a fun ride. Man, I'm working all those gears. There were 6 gears forward, and of course, you got reverse. Well, when I got home, Drew came out, and she looked at it. She was so excited, and she opened the door, and she looked in, and her eyes immediately went to the gear shift. And she said, and then she looked around, and then she saw the clutch on the floor. And when she saw the clutch, she said, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, that's the clutch." And then she looked at me with all seriousness, and she said, "Do I have to use that?" And I said, "Well, it all depends. If you just want to rev the car up, you know, and keep it in the garage, you don't have to use it at all. But if you actually want to drive it down the street, you have to use it." She said, "How many times do I have to use it?" I said, "How many numbers are on that little ball right there where the shifter is?" She said, "It says 6. I said, "You get to use it 6 times going up and 6 times going back." And that's probably within the course of a mile or a couple of miles. So all of a sudden, she wasn't so excited about that car anymore, because she had to learn how to engage the clutch. So I think you're getting where we're going with this. And also the rest of the story is, for the next year and a half until we could get rid of that car, guess who drove that little girly car? I had to. Well, anyhow, that's another story. But nonetheless, engage your spirit. You have to engage a clutch in order to be able to move from one gear to the next gear so that you can get somewhere. If you want to get somewhere with God, you've got to learn how to engage your spirit. So now my question comes, what if you don't know that you're a spirit? How are you going to engage something you don't even know that you are? I know you're feeling this. But I am too. And this is one of the areas where we've not been as astute in teaching people as we should have throughout the ages. There are all kinds of denominations that have not centered on being a spirit and making a connection with God through your spirit, where people are floundering because they don't even know that they are a spirit or how their spirit is to make a connection with God. You know, the rest of this verse that says that's the kind of people the Father's out looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. So when we worship God not out of our intellect. We don't worship God out of our body. We worship God from our hearts. What makes sense to what you are inside? What you choose to believe is accurate and true. Someone says, well, I don't believe there is a God. Well, that individual won't be able to worship God out of their spirit. They've already shut that compartment down of their heart by saying, I choose not to believe in Him. You know, Jesus went into His hometown in order to produce wonderful signs and wonders and miracles like He did everywhere He went. And yet He was perplexed. Said he marveled because of their unbelief, for he was not able to do the things that he did other places. In other words, he tried to, but he wasn't able. Why? They shut him down because of their unbelief. You have the will to believe. God gave you that will inside of you when he made you just like himself. Well, that's a good scripture. We'll go there for just a second. Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. It says, God spoke and said, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature. This is the Message Bible. It goes on to say, so they can be responsible for the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself. So guess what? God must have made man in such a very, very close representation to himself that man was actually able to handle responsibility. That's pretty awesome. The responsibility of what? Picking up a couple of sticks? No, running the universe, running the earth. Like say, wow. God made man so much like himself that man had the potential and ability to actually make choices that would keep the universe or the earth running the way that it was supposed to, the way that God made it. I'm telling you, we underestimate what it means to be human. We're always looking at humanity at its worst and identifying a little bit better. Instead of looking at the potential of God in man, making man like himself, and then raising our expectations to a spiritual or godly level, of which I can hear the naysayer saying, well, brother, you're taking a little bit too much room for yourself. You might think yourself to be a little bit too much than you are. Well, no, I think really and truly, we only really honor God when we act like God made us to be. And maybe our lack of understanding of how he made us to be is the reason why it's so easy to act like less than a real man or woman or a human being. It goes on to say here, God created human beings, verse 27. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. I like what the Living Bible says, like God did God make man. Well, folks, we're going to have to stop already, but I'm giving you some things to chew on. Now, it's not my interpretation. It just happens to be what I'm reading here. And if you can read, then I think you'll read it exactly like I am. God made us in his image and in his likeness. He made us as spiritual beings so that we can reflect his nature and live life like God lives life, see it through his eyes, feel it through his impulses, have the wisdom of God to make declarations and choices that will affect the earth, the universe, and our own world positively for Jesus Christ. Wow, those are some good thoughts. Think on some of those things as we begin to get into this series about being a spiritual being. What's the possibility that if we don't know what we really are, we're not able to function on the level that God's given us to function? And if you look around at everybody else that's doing life the way they're doing it, well, I just say it this way. That's not real inviting, it's not real encouraging, and my goodness, why would you want to go to that level of comparison? Bring yourself up like God did, to God's level, and see that God wants you to think like him and act like him. This is a powerful session today. I want you to know that Jim Hockaday Facebook page is Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page, excuse me. That's where you can go to find these videos. You can follow us on that Facebook page, or you can go to Adventures in Grace and subscribe on our YouTube channel. And if you'd like to go to our website, you can go to jimhockaday.com. You know, each and every week that I minister, it's amazing to watch God do what God does. And the simplest of simplest things, and let me just share this in a broad stroke today as far as our grace testimony. Never anything happens that happens spiritually in a significant way for the Lord that happens without the Holy Spirit. He's always moving on our hearts. He's always giving thoughts to our mind, and a witness, say, what is a witness? Just that feeling on the inside of your spirit, like you know something that maybe you don't even know. The Holy Ghost is always prompting us and helping us to walk in a spiritual place. And I can't tell you how much of this type of life is what I minister every time I'm preaching. Even when I'm ministering in these little sessions right here, my tongue is hooked up to the Holy Ghost. That is the grace of God. Learning how to recognize your spirit and connect your tongue to the Holy Ghost so that the things that you're saying are not coming out of your head, but they're coming out of your heart. And there's a presence and there's an anointing that's actually transferred from one to the other. This is what God's doing for us even today. We appreciate you. We love you. We thank you for watching what we're doing. And we're going to have so many more of these videos as an encouragement to your relationship with God. Until next time, God bless you.